walk in life, most of us never meet anybody of royalty, kings and queens and presidents and all that stuff. But just think, we met at Calvary the King of all glory. And he abides within us, giving us strength day by day. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. What an opportunity it is just to open God's word and to hear his voice, knowing he knows everything about us, and he's going to get us through all the way. There's difficulties in life, and there was difficulties here as we read the text together in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Notice, first of all, that since there are enemies out there, and Judah knew there were enemies out there, and you and I know there are enemies around our lives, our children, our grandchildren, your home. There's enemies out there. So it always is advisory to have a watchman on duty. Well, since you and I are individuals and you live in a house with one or two people, you can't afford a watchman, but yet we have one, don't we? We have a heavenly watchman that watches over us day by night. He never slumbers or sleeps. But in Judah now, they had watchmen because the enemy was always prowling, always hating. Just like today, the world hates Israel. And they're always out to hurt and to tear down. So let's read the text together and look at, first of all, at the watchman that was on guard. Thank God they had a watchman on guard. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He was the king of Judah. Then there came some of them that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazanah-Tamar, which is Engedi." If you look at the Bible map, Engedi is that stronghold, that place down above the Dead Sea. It's a tropical paradise. It's an oasis there. It's below sea level, but yet it rains there. There's brooks coming out of the hill there. And then Gedi is where David was camped at when he was hiding from Saul. It's a beautiful place, but now the opposite is true. These enemies on the other side of Jordan have crossed the Dead Sea area, and they are headed toward Judah for destruction. They're coming by groves and by great troops. And we're going to see after a while they had a lot of things with them. Only God would have made sure that they have those things with them. And in this situation, remember this morning, God put a hook in the jaw of the enemy, or will put a hook in the jaw of Russia and Magog, those people around the Black Sea, and take down Israel for to destroy them. And the reason is not only destroy them, but let all the world know that he reigns on high and he is going to get glory and honor from anything and everything. But now it's different. Now, these people, and there again, I strongly believe everything is authorized by God. He knows everything that's going on. And they wouldn't have been going up against Judah if he hadn't okayed it, because he could have surely put a stop to it. So he's got a purpose in this. And we're going to see the title of messages tonight, From Adversity to Blessings. When the watchman told King Jehoshaphat, you got these great armies coming out there. You have united together, and they're coming against your troop, against your town. And he realized at that particular point that that's adversity. But somehow, some way, he has to go to God to get the plan, because God has a plan. So I want to look at nine different things tonight. God's step in place to get our families, and you and I, every one of us, from the adversities, all the things out there that would befall us, that would uproot us, that would tear us down and take our victory, and that would try to destroy us. But there's a way, and it won't have to be God's way, so we'll have to seek his face and see how we can go from the adversity and from all the different things to the blessings. And the Bible says, in verse 3. He went directly to God. When diversity comes, and adversity comes, difficulty, distresses, and all those things come, there's no way we can handle it within ourselves, nor do we have to. So he went straight to God, and notice in verse 3 through verse 5 what he did. He went directly to God for help. And Jehoshaphat feared. Of course he was afraid, because God had put him over all those people. It was his job. It was his call to do something, somehow, some way, to provide the armies if possible. But he couldn't do that. They weren't available to him to defeat and to keep those three or four great armies from defeating them. He knew their game plan. They were going to come in and take everything they had and take the women and the children and do everything he could. So there was difficulty. So he knew there's only one way out of this, and God knows the way. So he goes and he set himself to seek the Lord. He determined in his heart there's no other way to do it. Can't go half-hearted. When real sorrow and difficulty, have you ever noticed the difference? When little problems come, we go to God in prayer over everything. We pray over everything. But if you're like me, when diversity comes and you know it's life-threatening, and you know if God don't help, you're doomed, there's no way out, you really set your heart on it, don't you? It's not just words anymore. It's from the bottom of your heart. And that's what he was doing. He was seeking the Lord, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. Fast work, because God told us when we fast, we get our mind off of ourselves and we get our things on, not on the food or a daily supply that nourishes our physical, but we need spiritual strength. So he determined in his heart, and he had all the people that were willing to do it. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. He realized that the word has got to go out. We have to know how desperate this situation is. If we don't get God's help, and we can have it all right, but we have to come his way. We have to come in like minds, all one accord. We have to get everything out of our way, have to get our hearts clean and pure. We know God can answer prayer, and there's no doubt in our mind but what he can, and all we have to do is just seek his face from the bottom of our heart. And at that particular point, they were ready to do it, and they did do it. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. From this pulpit, the other pulpit, and the other church, I probably have said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. Anything worth anything is centered around the house of God. You see it 3 times in the text we read tonight. They just didn't know it. God hears you on the street corners under the oak tree, but there's something special about the house of God. So if you really want to set your heart on God, you get as close as you can to God's house. Look at the verse. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He was determined, and he was seeking God, so he went directly to God on behalf of himself and all the people. But thirdly, the third point, worship's got to take place. Now, we can worship when we sing, we can worship when we think, and we make melody in our heart. We can worship by reading the Word of God. There's a lot of ways of worshiping. But when you learn how to worship while you're praying, they did this. They were worshiping as they were praying. Look at the text, verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thy God in heaven, and ruleth not thy over all the kingdoms of the heaven, of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? They were putting their trust in him. Now, God knows their hearts, but they're proclaiming with their mouth that, God, you're everything. You're over the heathen. You're over the world. We have confidence in that. We bless your name and we praise your name. But look at verse 7. Art not thou our God? who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. The reminder said, for we don't need to remind God of anything, but I think in so doing that they were encouraging their self. God knows everything, of course, and they were just recognizing who he was. You're the God that brought us over here, and this land was occupied, but you drove them out. And you're the same God. We need to realize every day of our life that God saved us, secured us. He's taking us all the way home, no matter what, no matter what difficulty, what sadness, what sorrow comes our way. All we have to do is set our face and our heart toward God. You've come tonight to do that in the house of God, and we're going to follow his plan tonight, because the devil is out there as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, trying to devour our children, our nation, our cities, everything he can. But if we'll learn as we're praying to worship, look at the next verse. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, we stayed in this land you put us in, and our forefathers built a sanctuary, and it's yours. We didn't put their name there. It's your sanctuary, and this is the house of God. And this is the place we need to realize this is not just my house or your house. This is the house of the Lord, dedicated to him. It belongs to him. So we come to worship, to adore him, to set our affections on things above. If, when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. As they're praying, they're worshiping. You worship by giving him honor and praise and thanking him for everything he's done in the past, which they're doing. They're thankful for all he is, what he's done, and they realize that he's still God. And as they're praying, they are worshiping. Number four, the whole congregation now has to get involved. God might have done it with two-thirds, whatever, but he wants to get the whole congregation to humble themselves. This is a sure thing. If Jehoshaphat can persuade the congregation to do what he's done, he sets the standard. He's went to the house of God. The priests have opened up the house of God. They've been proclaiming, this is your house, God. We're here. We're your people. And now if we can get everyone to understand and humble ourselves, God has already said, a contrite heart he will not deny. If we can humble ourselves, we can get God's attention by being humble and by showing humility. It's granted, God's already said, if you'll humble yourself and you'll pray and seek my face and turn from evil ways, I will hear from heaven. So they're doing this. They know the word of God. Let's look at verses 10 through 13. Getting the whole congregation to humble themselves and pray. Verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that would be, of course, Esau's group, the Edomites, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of that position which thou hast given us to inherit. They remind themselves in God that these people are not your people. They have been against you all along. When we were ready to go in the promised land, we want to go through their territory, our forefathers, and they wouldn't let us. They've been against you, God, the whole way. And we're asking petition. We'll humble ourselves. We're doing all we can. We know we can't solve the problem. But if we will present ourselves as you want us to, we know you can and will solve the problem. Verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us. Verse 12, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. The whole congregation is standing there. God, you're able to do it. The enemy's out there. They've been against you all the way through. And we know you're able to secure us and guard us and our children and their wives. We're your people. We're in your place. And we're reminding you and remind ourselves what you have done, can do. And here we are, God, waiting on you. We don't have any mind. We can't do it. Sometimes we need to just confess that before God. The first thing I think we need to confess when we first start praying, Lord, I'm helpless, can't do anything. I don't even know how to humble myself within myself, but would you help me have a humble heart, have a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart that I will not despise, O God. Now the whole congregation have humbled themselves. Look at the word of God now. As the word of God will come through one of his servants. God's there, he's listening, he's hearing. And God obviously appreciates all that they're doing, because look what happens now when the word of God comes through. It comes through somebody you wouldn't expect. You would expect maybe if God's in heaven, he's going to speak. Maybe the king, Jehoshaphat, has been a pretty good king. Or the priest, maybe one of the priests. He will speak to them. We need a word from God. Well, God will use who he wants to. Look at this emphasis, what he puts on the one that he's going to speak to. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matthias, a Levite of the sons of Aspen, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. One man, they are desiring a word of God. What do we do? We know you're able to discomfit them. We know you're able to destroy them. But what do we do? We're praying. We're seeking your face. And when you do all that you know to do, then you can turn it over to God. And that's what they've done. And God will react. Let's look now at the next verse. Very important. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. His name means beheld of God. No doubt he was somewhere in the background. And God chooses whom he will. And God chooses the right person. And this person spoke what God said to do. And they're listening. They have no other choice. When you come to the end and you know there's no other way, perhaps we'll start listening to God a little bit more than we do. Look at the next verse. When God's, and number five, when God speaks, we've got to hear. God has spoken. But I wonder if everyone at the first night, who's he? Do we really know that God spoke? We didn't hear God's voice. This man said God spoke to him and told us what to do. We stand up here and we read the word of God, and God speaks to his servants. God speaks to their heart. And the first thing the devil will try to do is, I don't believe that. I don't believe God told him to do that. I don't believe that. They must be 100% trustworthy, because if they don't follow the word of God, they're doomed. They're going to be destroyed completely. Look what happens, and I want to look specifically when God's going to do something. He's already spoke his word, but what's he going to do now? Look at the 16th verse. Look at the instructions. They're so easy, they couldn't miss him. See, I would follow God, I'd do what he wanted to do, but I don't know. He'll make it so easy, you couldn't miss it. Look how simple God makes it. He does it in steps. Tomorrow, not today, not the day after tomorrow, tomorrow, go ye down against them. They have armors. They have all these swords. They're equipped. They've been equipped in their self for weeks and months, no doubt. Here we are, women and children, and you're telling us to go down against them? That's what God said. Hey, listen, when God says it, it doesn't make human sense, but you follow God's precepts. You go against them. That's easy to understand. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zig, God knew which way they were coming before they got there. Israel didn't know. They didn't have spy satellites. They had a watchman that saw them come as for the God across the Dead Sea, but they couldn't keep track of them now. But God knows everything about the enemy. He knows everything about you and I. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. This is what they're going to do, and all you have to do is go out and stand against them. Furthermore, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. All these words have been spoken by a man that God spoke to, but that's the word of God through a man. He spoke it distinctly. He spoke it clearly. No one had to say, would you repeat? I didn't understand. When God speaks, he speaks it so clearly, you will understand. And then now they have something they have to do tomorrow. They go out and they go to this place and they stand still. He further requires them, don't be dismayed. That means, trust me. You can go down, but you see, God puts a lot of emphasis on how we have faith and trust. Now, worshiping needs to take place again. They've already worshiped in prayer and dedication as they worship by recognizing. Did not Jesus tell that to his disciples when they said, Lord, teach us to pray? He started out, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that is worship because he recognizes who God is. Hallowed be your name. And they've done that in prayer. But now let's look at the worship they're going to do again. They're going to follow the directions very simply. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hey, victory's not come yet, but it's on the way, because in their heart they believe, they trust, they understand that God spoke. They're going to follow, and now they're worshiping because of who he is, but what he's going to do. And they're falling on their face and worshiping the Lord God. And the Levites of the children of the Korathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. So they were not ashamed. Some of them were bowed to the earth, and others stood up and lifted their voice with praise and honor. Didn't care who heard it, their God needed to be praised and honored. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Isn't that good advice? We have the word of God. Believe the word of God. Accept the word of God. God is our God. He speaks to your heart. He speaks through his word. He tells us what to do, instructs us what to do. He knows all the dangers out there. But remember the phrase, be not afraid, be not dismayed. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so many times, yeah, I know, that's wonderful and good, but we need to do our little part. No, if God said, I'll take care of it, that means we have to trust him, and we can trust him and believe he will take care of it. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. You see what these people are doing? They're headed down to face the enemy. No arms whatsoever. No weapons whatsoever. They're following instructions. And in their heart, they're singing and giving praise to God before the victory comes because they know the victory is coming. These are steps that they took. It's working. And the same steps will work for you and I when we face our enemy. whatever it is, these same steps. God put in his word for our understanding. And then look what happens. When they began singing and praising the Lord, that's when God took action. He's already told them what to do. He's waiting on them. I wonder how many times God, you know, their enemies out there comes against you and me and whatever it is. It'll be sickness, whatever it is. And God knows what he wants to do. And God tells us what to do. And he waits to see if we'll do it. And when we start, particularly with the worship, the praise, and the hallelujah chorus, then look what happens. When they begin praising God, God moved in verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise at that moment, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God set the ambushes as soon as he saw his people praising and believing in their heart. Remember what Jesus said? He told the little lady with the issue that he praised her for his faith. He said to one lady, I've never found this much faith in Israel. God's looking for faith from you, from me. And when he finds faith and when he finds trust, at that point, God will act in our life and our adversity can be turned to blessings. Look what happens. They begin to praise the Lord to ambushes. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Oh, he's turned them against one another, isn't he? See, God can do that too. He can do anything on his heart. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to stray and destroy them. They went out in unison, the enemy. But God had spoken to their hearts. And now they're bitter toward each other. They're going to fight Israel, but now God has turned them against one another. And they're slaying and killing one another. You and I couldn't do that, nor should we try. God can do that. He can do anything. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they got rid of the people from Mount Seir, which was the Edomites. Everyone helped to destroy another. They're destroying one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower and the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And they didn't have to do anything. Isn't that wonderful? God did it all when? When he saw their faith. When he saw them doing what he told them to do. Same with you, same with me. Simple equation. We have the word of God. He tells us how to act, what to do, how to get forgiveness, and the instructions every day of our life. And when we do, we can be sure God will take care of the enemy. Whatever he needs to do, he's got all the arsenal. Look now at the winning the battle without a fight. But it came with a bonus. Just to see all the dead bodies there that were already contemplating and already determined to come up and slay all of Judah. And just to see their dead bodies there would be enough, but God always gives bonuses. Look what the bonuses are. It's amazing. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Isn't that amazing? Here these three nations are going against Israel. Naturally, they took all their weapons. But only God could go and tell them, oh, by the way, take your rubies, take your jewels, take your riches with them. To fight the enemy, we're going to destroy them and bring their riches to us. But God persuaded them as only he could, oh, take your riches with you. And then they were dead bodies, and who got the riches? The people of God. He destroyed all the enemy, and he gave them all the riches they needed. It took 3 days to get the riches back home. But it gets better. Let's keep reading. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah. unto this day. And all that name means is blessings. In the Valley of Blessings, God chose that place, which already had been had a name, Blessings. And God chose, and all those adversities, I wonder, I like to let my mind wonder, if God orchestrated and planned the whole affair, he got glory out of it. The enemies were destroyed that had been against him all the time. And now Israel had benefited with the riches. They benefited with more than that. They benefited because they knew now that they had a God that would be with them no matter what. Let's keep reading. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat and the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets and to the house of the Lord. Wouldn't you know it? It began the house of the Lord giving thanks. And after the victory and after the battle that God won for them, they're going back to rejoice and dedicate in the house of the Lord. And now they have joy in their heart. Remember, they were so disturbed. They were so, and the Bible uses the word that Jehoshaphat feared. Of course he did. Any of us would. Responsibility every one of us have out there, because we know the enemy is out there trying to destroy, trying to tear down. But there's a way we can turn those adversities. And God will help all the way. It was his plan. He permitted them to go. And then he spoke to one man the words. They just obeyed and followed. And now they're going back home with joy. Lastly, the wrath of God and the ways of God were manifest. Look at the next verse. The people of Israel, they knew the ways of God because they were in the house of God, remember, praying and saying, God, we remember how you did all these great miracles before. But the heathen, they need to understand it too. So God wanted his ways and the wrath that he had, it wanted to be manifest to all generations. Look at verse 29 and 30. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Here's the way God wants it in my life and yours. We're his people. He allows adversities, dangers, disappointments to come every way, every one of us, different ways. And when we set our mind on God, and wholly determined we're going to follow him and worship and adore him and have the faith and the trust that he gives us. We exercise that and follow. Then when God does miracle after miracle in their life, the world sees it. And we understand it. So we praise him. We give joy and gladness to other people through our testimony. And the whole world knows that, hey, those people that's serving God, God takes care of them. Isn't that wonderful? Last verse. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. It was near the end of his reign, and this was a victory that was so needed, because it not only was a victory for Jehoshaphat, but all the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Everyone would have been endangered and killed. Remember all it took? For Jehoshaphat as a leader to determine and tell all the people, we've got to get to God. He can solve our problem. And because they went to God, he showed them the plan, and they, now they're rejoicing and they're dedicating everything to God, and he gave them bonuses. And now they know the next time a problem comes, all they have to do is get their life in order and get and set their heart on God and things to God, and God will again take care of the problems. God's plans to turn our adversities into blessings every day of our lives. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. It's Brenda and Brother Ray. Come to Oregon, play whatever God puts on your heart.